Okay, 015. We're starting the Kuf of Aleph. Chayes Halvad is going through different midos that people have. A mido and its opposite. And how you have to be in control of your midos. And when's the appropriate time to use each mido, with the soul being... Again, we've been learning this for the last 2 weeks now, that the midos of a person are not something that he should be passive about and allow them to wash over him. And he's like a passive actor. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm indignant. Oh, I'm brave. I'm scared. So we use them as descriptions, as adjectives of how we are, and the Lovis is saying they're not descriptions of how you are. They're verbs. What do you choose to do? You can choose to use this meat. Tell them it's not appropriate. Go to the bank. You use it. You use it as you see fit. So he goes through different middles and their opposites. We talked about the end of last week, we talked about Azus, we saw the Bir Halacha that talks about not being, even when you're not allowing yourself to be intimidated by Rishayim, and you don't have the Midah of Busha when it comes to doing a mitzvah and standing up for what's right, but you shouldn't use the midah of Azus. Then we saw in the Bir Halacha that echoes the, well, there's an echo, he really says, but his Halacha says, but he says when to use the midah of Azus, when it's a question of the public going astray, and you have to stand up for what's right. It's not a personal matter with you, but you have to, others are going to be led astray, so then you have to stand up and fight. You have to fight, you have to be loud. And you have to take a stand in order that people not, that the public, that the general public not be, led astray. So we're up to now around the middle of the page, Kuf Chaf Aleph. V'kach midos harotzon v'hachoron. V'kach midos harotzon is satisfaction. It's a midah. To feel satisfied is a midah. You're happy with the way things are. The hachoron, that you're, you can call it angry, you can call it, you're indignant, you're upset, you don't like the way things are. You're not happy with the status quo. You're unsatisfied. So again, these are midos that you could control. You could make yourself dissatisfied with a certain situation, and you could make yourself be dissatisfied. Shemokum hacharon, when should you pull out the midah of being dissatisfied? You know, people, let's say, have a certain passivity, and most people, I think it's safe to say, you know, they're willing to let things ride. Let things be as they are, really. So when you see Be'ez Heder at Tzedek, when you see in general that there are injustices all around you, the hachariga, and there's a pulling back, milishbo tzedek, and a person lives in Sdom or in the state of Israel, so you see there's no justice, and then people are just doing things without any cheshbon of law, without any cheshbon of what's right, and even following laws. I mean, you could have laws like in Stone too, I guess. But Kabbalah, you see that things, you know that things are not being Nohe Keshura. So you could be satisfied. You could say, Shalom Alei Nafshi. You could say, I'm okay. It doesn't affect me. You could think. Okay, so you should not be satisfied. You should make yourself stirred up. He's talking about, like, before he was talking about already afterwards, what you're going to do. Whether it's Azus or lack of Busha. Here he's Pasha talking about the incipient midah that's going to make you sit up and take notice and decide to do anything. Just to decide to do anything. People, if you're satisfied with your life, so, you read the paper and you go, that's a shame. And then you turn the page and, and you go on. Or you see, when you see avlus going on. And then, so you have to make yourself become indignant and say, what am I going to do about this? And people go out and they do things. And big movements have started because of single individuals. If you learn history, I know Rabbi Wein is always very fond of saying this, and Islam is true. And you see it in Tanakh, and in Jewish history, and really in all of history. That really history boils down to one person. You can end up with a world war that affects millions and millions of people adversely, or you could have good things happen. But if you examine it, really you see it in the parasha with Yosef and the brothers. You have all mamlochos, like the whole world is shifting and changing, and the empires are falling, empires are rising, people are starving, and it boils down, like if you track it down, it's the story of one person, what one person did, what one person didn't do. Everyone in his tapes very often says, well, history is really the story of one person. One person really, if you track it down. So I don't know. I was thinking of the American Revolution. I don't know. It's hard to pin it to one person. Say George Washington, but he didn't. Maybe it was the person. I don't know if you people know American history. Maybe I think the person that riled everybody up with indignation was the guy that wrote the Patriot paper. They used to put out like little pamphlets. What? What? I don't know. They used to put out these pamphlets, and it mamish riled up everybody. It made everybody, that's what Chavis HaLovis is talking about. It made everybody indignant. And people, like in Israel now, right? You're sitting to read the paper, the avlus that go on day in and day out, it's you don't know whether to laugh or to cry, and it's just every day, Boker Yomar Mi'itein Erev Uber Mi'itein Boker. Like you think it can't get any worse, and then you pick up the paper the next day, and it's worse. Like it just gets worse and worse. And the Olam, I'm just talking about Chavis HaLovis now. The Olam has not become indignant yet. There's no. Something happens when the populace is just. Says, we're not going to take it anymore. And that it just doesn't happen here. There's some sort of maybe Shemayim induced. It's like so outlandish that sometimes you have to think it's just an onesh from Shemayim. It's a Shemayim induced passivity that people just say Yiyah Tov, or they just shrug and they just go on. And when I say, what can you do? I want to bring out what the Chavis HaLovis is saying. You need something to click that people should become indignant. What?
Everyone's sense of choice, not using the right word, sense of, what if I have freedom of choice?
Yeah, well, sometimes Hashem, I don't know, it's one of the great philosophical questions of the world. Every individual has freedom of choice, but sometimes Hashem, sets in a certain mindset on the rabbin, and it's very hard for a yochid to break out of it. Like everybody's in a fog here about what's going on. Like a fog. I don't know what I'm talking about. But that's what he's talking about. You have to work. You have to be oved on the midah of indignation. People don't. Indignation is very chash v'midah. People don't get indignant anymore because. You have all these years, probably like 200 years of what's called moral relativism. Like, so you don't get indignant because who am I to say? So you don't get indignant because indignant implies that you're right and the other person's wrong, and that's. I think Dennis Prager once said that in the modern day world. There's no Averis anymore. There's only two Averis left in the modern day world. One is smoking, and the other is to say something's an Aveira. That's the only two Aveiras left. V'adothas hashov, when people give primacy to falsehood. I think there was, I saw a very good vort in the Haaretz editorials, Carolyn Glick quoted. She said the Haaretz says Sharon is going to be the first politician to get elected because everyone knows he's lying with what he says. They're voting for him because they know he's lying. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to give anything more away, I'm not going to do this anymore. And everyone knows he's lying. Like, they don't know he's lying. And that's why those are going to vote. Okay. So that's what the Chavis HaVavah says. That's when you have to be dissatisfied. And you have to get stirred up, and you have to not be passive, and you have to not be satisfied with life. You have to not accept it. Umakam haratzon, and conversely, you have to be sameach b'chelko. When things are going well in your life, and, you know, people get a midlife crisis, you ever hear of that? That's what the Chavis HaVavah says, that's also. That's when you have to pull out the midah of satisfaction. You have to catch yourself. People get bored with life, and by the goyim, and it happens by it. They want more excitement. They want to change spouses. They want to, you know, they're dissatisfied with their life. It actually has a name. A midlife crisis is a very real thing. And the Chavis HaVavah says, no, you have to know when to pull out the meter of satisfaction. You have to catch yourself and you say, you know, things are going well. Well, you know, what do I want out of life already? Baruch Hashem, I have this. Baruch Hashem, I have that. Baruch Hashem, this. And you have to make yourself satisfied. And people, unfortunately, all too often make themselves dissatisfied. They see their neighbor went on a race. A person, you know, what do you do in the summer? So some people are happy to stay home. And that's fine. They like to stay home. They like their house. They see that the kids see, and sometimes the person sees that the neighbor went away for a week and a half. Whatever they call these things, it really has no cheshek to go. And don't tell me this doesn't happen. This happens all the time. You don't really have a cheshek to go. You make yourself dissatisfied. Like he went. How come we don't do something like that? And really, you don't really want to. And you have no desire to. And you're fine to stay at home. But you make yourself dissatisfied. So the Chavis HaVavah is saying no. You have to know when to pull out the midah of satisfaction. It's okay, things are good. What are you looking for? Umokum harotzum be'ez hanochas hadvorim b'makomam. When things are going well, the way they're supposed to, everything's, things are moving along. V'shibutzum b'ma'alosum. Funny what we're showing, it's like everything is in its right place. It's talking like a yeki. You know, everything is set up the way they're supposed to be. Things are going. V'halicha bohem b'menhagei hayosher. So you have to use satisfaction. You can call it Sumeach b'chelko, you know. But people do that. So they say, oh, let's travel. Let's do this, let's do that. And they're really stirring up trouble. They're really perfectly satisfied to be satisfied. They should be. So that's what you have to do. So you have to be dissatisfied. What the Chavis HaVavah just tell us. And you have to laugh because it's not as you... Like, you say, wait, how come we haven't flipped the wrong way? He says, when you see people doing avlos and you see society doing things, being ma'adif anshei shov and being ma'adif sheker over emes, so you have to become indignant and angry and upset and not satisfied with the status quo. But if things are going well in your life, don't look for things to do. Life is fine. So just be satisfied and go on. Okay, so you could say, I mean, the Chavis HaVavah would also say, you shouldn't be satisfied, you know, you should always try to steig, you should always try to grow. You can't take, certainly, I would say also that's a time to pull out the meat of dissatisfaction. If don't be satisfied with a person, let's say, improves his davening. Don't be satisfied with, or improves his learning. learns more. Don't be satisfied. Push yourself. You can still do more. And that's really a balance, because you have to pace yourself. So you have to have someone to talk to. You have to have someone to talk things over with. Make sure you're pacing yourself properly. I'm just saying, there's more than what you could think of your own examples of what the Chavetz Chaim is talking about. Being satisfied in Ruchnius is not such a good thing. Right, we just have Dikas Yaakov Shevus B'Shalva, which no one's quite sure what it means, but at least all the Balei Musa explain it to have something to do with being satisfied in Ruchnius Tikkun Madregas that were reached, and you should never be. You should always look to do more, to accomplish more. That's also a time, the Chavetz Chaim doesn't say that example, but certainly I'm sure that it applies. You want to say
see, from the Avos, that they weren't satisfied.
What?
The Avos are a perfect example.
Yeah, so never, don't be satisfied in Ruchnius.
Having a great Hashbar, and you need children.
Yeah, for Ruchnius, stick of reasons. Yeah.
Is being indignant meaningful as just a state of mind, or only meaningful if you do something about it?
That's a hard question to answer. It's certainly only meaning, you know. It's only meaningful ultimately if you do something about it, but you have to start with the feeling.
Agreed.
You know, sometimes a person will feel something and it'll cook within him for a year or two till he finally decides to stand up and take action. So don't squash. It would be a dangerous thing to squash. Although I would say, you know, I think, okay, it's meaningless if you don't do anything. I'm not, that's a good sentence. I like that sentence. But then again, wait, stop and think what it means. If you're not holding by doing something, don't squash your feeling of indignation. Maybe you won't do something, but you'll be talking to a friend, and you'll give over your feeling, and he'll do something. Maybe you'll do something in a year. Maybe you won't do something, but you'll give money to an organization that is doing something. So you never know how it'll manifest itself in terms of its reverberations, in terms of its ripple effect. But in theory, yeah, I would say certainly it shouldn't just be the emotion. But what good is the emotion if you don't do anything? But let's, okay.
If you add the word, if you say the statement, it's meaningless unless you ultimately do something about it.
Well, that's why I gave some examples. It's ultimately, maybe you'll do something in 2 years. Maybe you'll help someone else do something. It's quite often that you. It's not uncommon that your indignation will spill over to someone else who will do something, and there is something to be said anyway about Hakaras Emes. Okay, there's an inyan b'fnei atzmo. You know, when there's an inyan to be makir the Emes, even if you're not going to do something about it, there's an inyan. At least you know what's right, but then you have to be worried about hypocrisy, and then maybe there's more of a tine on you for not doing something. If you are aware of the MS, sometimes ignorance is bliss. And, you know, you say, oh my goodness, like, why do I realize this now? Maybe I'm going to be punished for not doing something about it. I wish I didn't know what was going on, right? Okay. The Kachmidas are Achmonas v'Achzorius. There is a Midah. Is that the Torah wants you to feel Rachmanus on his brios. That's also the lachta bedrachav. Hashem has rachamim. To whatever degree we can talk about Hashem's having rachamim, Hashem's emotions. Hashem, of course, doesn't have emotions, but it's Hashem is in Yochel Lishmoa. So we say Hashem has rachmanus. And I'm trying to bring out that the Eibishter wants you to have rachmanus too. Mahu rachum avato rachum. It's not just a mitzvah to give tzedakah, to do chesed. You're supposed to empathize and sympathize. So it really translates into actions too, like we said a couple of Shabbosim ago. How you give tzedakah is more important than the tzedakah itself sometimes, many times. It certainly magnifies the tzedakah into a much more powerful mitzvah, like Moran Bava Basra says. My point is, you should have rachmanis. You know, you give tzedakah, you should have rachmanis. You should feel for people. Don't just, not enough to do the mitzvah like a robot. The Torah wants you to feel. So you say, well, we always grapple with this. Well, I don't know if we grapple with this, but we should. you should grapple with the problem of, well, am I giving tzedakah because I have rachmanos, or am I giving tzedakah because it's a mitzvah and Hashem told me to give tzedakah? Right? These are things you have to grapple with in life. But certainly Valachta Bedrochov says, Mahu Rachum Afator Rachum, Hashem wants you to feel, Hashem wants you to cry, Hashem wants you to have rachmanos on someone. So you have that as a midah, v'achzorius, and you could be hard and cold and brittle. Shemokam arachmanos, who should have rachmanos on? The Valei Hadalos, people who are poor, the Hamiskenos, people who are like Shlomazels or Stickle, nothing goes right for them. Ubalei Hachaloim, people who taka have a bad mazel, people who things are not going right for them, so you should feel for them. Vanche haprishas ba'olam, I'm not sure what that means. The Mefarshim don't really explain it.
The
Pasht, what?
The same words in the other translation?
I don't remember. I looked at the other chase and I didn't like become enlightened, or else I would have remembered. It's, I don't know what he means. People who are not with it, people who are spaced out. Anche Precious is like a good thing. People who are poorish from Olam Hazeh. So why should you have Rachmanis on them? Not so clear. What?
Mentally
ill. Yeah. The elderly.
Mentally ill.
Oh, maybe? I don't know. Umi Shein, people who can't hear. Umi Shein lo yecholes lahakir ofane tovoso. Look at that. Someone who doesn't know how good he has it. Go kick him in, have rachmanos on him, and go kick him in the pants. Wake him up. And but, yeah. What? Yeah. Or in his life. I mean, that also, and that primarily, not just also, but it means people who don't, you have to wake them up. You have to make people realize what they are capable of doing, how things are not as bad as they think. So, but you're supposed to feel rachmonos for them. Because sometimes people are not aware of reality, of a good reality, and you have to feel for them. They're always pessimistic, they're always down, so you have to, you feel rachmonos on them. He's like a poor person. It's like a chiddush from the Chayyus HaLovas. I mean, he puts them together with a poor person. A person who always feels sorry for himself, a person who doesn't realize how good he has it, so you should feel pity for him. He's like a poor person. He's worse off than a poor person, actually.
What if the Muslim means he doesn't know how to take care
of himself? What?
It means that he doesn't know how to take care of himself.
What means that?
Which?
What means that?
I
don't know how your words in English stem with the Hebrew words.
He doesn't know how to take care of himself.
This
is right.
You can interpret it that way. Okay. Okay. You open a Chayyus HaLovas with the five Peirushim and you'll see different Peirushim in each sentence. So, fine, good. Someone who doesn't know can't take care of himself. Okay. Kitsa, what he's giving a list. You should feel, I don't know, what's the guiding principle of who you should feel rachmanos of? Someone who's not taking full advantage of life for whatever reason, I guess. Someone who's not fully taking advantage of what's available. Vakol v'yaroivo, someone who's captured. Umishenedar shefatovo, someone who, you have to have rachmanos. Sometimes you have a rich person, maybe he's not poor now, but he got cut off from being so rich. And yeah, that's something to feel rachmanos for. Right? All of a sudden he has to get used to a different lifestyle. You have to feel for that person. Even by tzedakah, it says, "Right, day machsor or shayech sarlo." Once you give him, that's already. If he becomes an ani, then yechiyev of tzedakah is to give him. If he's not an ani, you don't have to give him. But once he's an ani, you have to give him in the lifestyle to which he's accustomed. Because he'll always feel downtrodden. He'll always, the mitzvah of tzedakah is to raise him up to the level to which he's accustomed. She'll meet Shenedar Shefa Tuvel, someone who's used to a higher standard of living, and then he takes a cut in income, I guess against his will, not willingly, so you have to feel for him. It's as bad as becoming poor, that all of a sudden he can't, you know, he can't live the way he's used to. V'amischorek al merio lefnei Hashem, if you know of someone doing tshuva, so you have to feel for him. It should evoke feelings of rachmanas in you, someone who has become aware that he's a chote. That's what the Rambam really says tochacha should come from. Tochacha should come from a feeling of love for your fellow man. Rambam doesn't say rachmanas, but it should come from a feeling. It shouldn't come from a feeling of superiority that you're going to be the know-it-all that's going to tell him things, but it should come from feeling for him. Someone is being afraid of being punished. Also, he becomes aware of his chatoim. So your heart should go out to these people. You shouldn't gloat, I guess he's saying. You shouldn't gloat. You shouldn't be, feel superior. But Adar Rabba, this is the time to pull out the midah of rachmanus and try to help him along. And try to help him regain and recapture some of the way he's supposed to be, the way he wants to be. So that's rachmanus. Avomokam achzorius, when do you have to, and you should make yourself soft. You should soften yourself. You make yourself cry. Make you should work on it. It's a midah that you, again, a midah you work on. That you should make yourself feel for the other person. Empathize with the other person. Put yourself in his shoes. And then feel for him. And have rachmanus. Avomokam achzorius, when should you practice hardening your heart and being cold? And not caring about the other person, there's a time and a place for that also. Harebeis gevius matnas Hashem. I don't know. This can't be a good translation. Gevius matnas Hashem midei harishoim. When Hashem repays and punishes the rishoim, v'hanakomam v'namashchisim ba'oretz, people who are evil, and they get their comeuppance, I think is a word. So you should feel good, and you shouldn't feel bad for them. You know, I just had this last night. I'm telling a story. Don't want people to story. Nothing's doicha story. What do you want? What do you say?
Maybe explain if someone is high on the throne of the Beis Hamikdash or high on the throne of Hashem, they have to be good for privilege that they are loyal. So this is
Hashem.
If we are giving
matzah,
you're
forcing
him
to
give.
What? He's not giving it. All right. Good suggestion. I was saying, I just had a story. Someone called me up. Not from the shul. Someone calls me up. They're in a business of public relations, and there's a certain person in the company that is going around by schmutzing the company, talking bad on the company, and they're going to reporters. It's a company in the public eye. And this person found out that they're going to do that. And this person wanted to go to the reporters first, and we'll call the person that called me up Ruvain. So Ruvain and the bad person, Shimon. So Ruvain knows things about Shimon. So he wanted to go to the reporters and tell them Shimon's going to come to you and he's going to say kach to kach. You know Shimon is an embezzler and Shimon is this and that and has a criminal record. So I wanted to know, you know, what's mutta to say and what's also to say. Okay. I wanted like the guidelines of that. So in the middle of the conversation, the person started crying. Reuven. So relax. It's just like they didn't feel comfortable with what they were now going to go do. They felt very shaken. You know, I'm sitting there going to schmack, you know. No, so I didn't really understand. I didn't understand it. I said, you know, first of all, you're allowed to do it. I said, well, you should do it. And I said, if someone's coming to kill you, and you kill them first, and you're allowed to do A, B, C, D to protect yourself, and they're doing an Avla, and you know they're a Shoah, and you know the person's doing a Rishos. And like, I don't understand your feeling. And for Zion, I can't help it. It's revolting to me what I have to now go do. So, that's 2 nights ago, exactly. So that's what Maharshal Chazal Lovitz is talking about here. That there are times when you have to steel yourself, and something that's really against your nature, and you just have to steel yourself and do it. And it's appropriate. And that's when you have to pull out the Midas Achzorius. K'maimarak Kosev, and the Torah talks about the emotion. Lo tochos ein cha'olam. It's talking about the Noyan of Rejizorah. It's talking about a Nasus grado. But like, there's a special love, like not to feel Rachmanos to him. It's an amazing thing. Like, they put him to death. Okay, you're going to put him to death. What does the Torah care if you feel Rachmanos to him and you put him to death anyway? No. Like, there's a love. A special love, not to feel feelings of Rachmanos to him. But Omar v'lo sachmo v'lo sachase olav. I'm sorry, the second pasuk is by Amasis. The first pasuk is stam by Eidom Zoynon that you have to punish. But that's said by Amasis. So there's a special love in the Torah, not. Why? Why does the Torah care? How am I answering my question? Because the Torah, Hashem wants you to have the right emotions. And when you're doing Ubiyarta Rami Kirbecha, so you're not supposed to. Okay, so again, it gets very subtle, because you'll ask me, Ayutamu Chaton Veloy Chaitim. So again, you're not supposed to feel happy that a Rosh is getting punished. Not happy. But you're not supposed to feel Rachmonis for the Rosh. I guess you could feel Rachmonis for the person that he is a Rosh. In other words, you separate the person from the Rishus, and you feel Rachmonis for Ruvain that he never, not Ruvain, you feel Rachmonis for Ruvain that he became a Rosh. So, here's a fine specimen of a human being, a Yitzir Kapov of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and look how he sunk. So you could have Rachmonis on Ruvain for becoming a Rosh. But you shouldn't have Rachmanis on the Rosh. The Rosh is getting his just desserts, and you have to pull out the meat of Achzorius to make sure that. And why does the Torah care? Because the Torah wants you to have the right emotions. That's why. Maybe also there's a chashash. If you feel Rachmanis, you won't do it. That's what happens by murderers nowadays in the world. Like, they have Rachmanis on murderers, and they don't want to kill them, so they live to kill another day. Well, stop. You lose your sense of justice. So you have to have this feeling of azorius to pull out when it's appropriate. And yes, he should be put to death. Okay.